Hi, it's Larry here of Xbox's Major Nelson, the official Xbox podcast. Hello, May. Hello, gang. Hello, Malik. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, Moon.
What's up, everybody?
What's up? Good. Hey. Welcome to everybody. Rebecca's off this week, as we were talking about last week. Jeff has joined us, and Malik is sitting here. And, you know, we should probably start off immediately right away to show that, you know, Malik is
my room.
Is it your room?
Is Goomba on the bed? This looks a lot like Rebecca's New York apartment.
Yeah, honestly, Puma's under the cover. That's my unmade bed. I just literally just put a sheet over it. That's what you get. Well, usually on internal calls, I blur it out so no one can see how plain my room is. Because as I think where you're going to, Larry,
yes.
Last time I was on the show, we had people in the comment section calling me out for my, I don't know, lack of decor. I'll say like minimalism. You know, so we had Tones Xbox say, Malik, bro, you need to invest some hours in that room. Bro, another bro, instead of Apex, man, get a little color in your room, brother. Come on.
Yeah.
Listen, Tones Xbox. All right. I like to keep things simple. All right. But I will say, enough people have said that to me that if you're in the Seattle area and you're an interior designer and you're listening to the Xbox podcast for some reason, hit me up. You know, I'll entertain offers. Yeah.
And I will just say this, you have a blank canvas to work with there. So have fun.
Yes.
Anything is possible.
The world or my room is your oyster. Exactly. Anything's possible.
Anyway, welcome everybody. It's been a great week of gaming. I know I've been busy. Malik, you've probably been playing Apex. I've been busy playing Tears of the Kingdom. So, as everybody else
sharing
has.
Hacks.
So, right, no, not hacks. Not hacks, Jeffrey. Just efficient workarounds. And then, Jeff, what have you been playing? We'll start with you.
Over my shoulder here. This is a game that I've been talking about full screen since GDC, which is Planet of Lana. This is a game that reviews came out in the last few days. People are loving this game. I'm loving this game. It is it's a day one Game Pass game made by some folks out of Sweden who are animators. I believe this is their first game, published by Thunderful, who have put together a lot of really fun games. And I will say this is likely to end up on my end of year, top games, favorite games of the year. We've talked a little bit about it. So
I'm
just
trying
like
to download
quickly.
It right now. So that's why I'm looking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a huge download, which is great. I want to say like 8 gigs. So you, play a role of a small child, maybe a boy, maybe a girl, probably not important, who's, living in. And I think there's some lore here that I'm digging into, but like living on a planet that is not Earth, but they're definitely human. And they seem to have like something of a pre-technological society going on. And while playing with your older sister at one point, like these robotic aliens invade and they kidnap everyone, you manage to escape. And very quickly you end up befriending a little, it's not Pikachu, but you know, on that level of cuteness,
is that the
Mui.
Splash screen behind you? Or is that actually,
that's the splash screen. That's okay. Oh, that's the title screen. If I move my head, you would see like settings.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, wow, looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it's just a lot of like, you know, beautiful, like sort of Ori-esque.
It's only 3.89 gigs. I'm almost done.
Oh, even super. Better. You know, it's not about, it's not about the size of it. The important thing here is that it's, if you liked Inside, if you liked Limbo, but maybe a much less dark version of that.
Those were very dark.
Those are incredibly dark. But you know, at the same time, it's more of a beautiful, lush world. But at
when you encounter
these aliens,
dark in terms of palette and story.
Yeah, across the board, like dark is the right word for all of those. And granted, I haven't beaten this game yet, so who knows? It may take a dark turn. But right now, and look, let me just tell you, my character Lana has died, you know, numerous times. Maybe not so grotesquely, but I've fallen off of there is risk here. Great, like very quick checkpoints, so you're almost encouraged to just like experiment. But there's been like some situations. Essentially, the crux of the game, you're trying to make it. You're trying to find your family, I guess. But like, you're unarmed. You are a kid, and there are some like either deadly. There's like robots that might be out there. They're sort of very spider-like.
It's like a Miyazaki film.
Things, this looks in a way, and you're like using your wits to like basically get past them. There have been a couple of situations where I've been able to like actually destroy one. But there's also like flora and fauna of this planet that can also be deadly. And so you're just using your wits to survive. So it's
like Australia.
In a way, with robots. With robot. With everything robots. Wants to kill you.
Right. Okay.
I will say, Malik, I started this, right? 100%. I started it last night, and I think your description is spot on. If you loved Ori, it even had like the opening of the game is very similar to Ori in a lot of ways, where it starts off beautiful. Like there's just a lot of community and you're having a great time. And then, as Jeff mentioned, it takes a turn for the worse. But dun, dun, dun. I thought that, you know, Inside is in my top five favorite games of all time. Ori is right up there as well. And this game is very similar, as Jeff mentioned. And I just want to read the last line from the website, which is, this is a story about a vibrant, beautiful planet and the journey to keep it that way. And you really get those vibes. So I'm about an hour in, and I got to say, it's one of those games. It's on Xbox Game Pass, so I think you can play it on via cloud, which I think is a great handheld game as well. So I'm going to give that a shot on my Steam Deck. But yeah, beautiful, beautiful game. It's just, it's kind of breathtaking in many ways.
I love it. I'm sorry. I'm loading it up now, Jeff. And I know we talked about this last week.
Yeah,
no, I think
you'll enjoy it. Yeah, yeah.
And I haven't had a chance to take a look at it. So thank you for pushing me on.
And there's just enough little hints. There's not like a million collectibles or anything like that. But I want to say somewhere on each level, you'll find like a little, I don't know if shrine is the right word, where it's like building out an image. And I'm having some ideas of like, what is this world? I feel like there's a little bit about, there's like, it's not just like, we'll just take it for granted. There's these people on this planet and these, you know, like, I think there's actually a little, it's teasing at something that I haven't gotten to yet that I think might be really interesting. And all so right. I love that too, even though there's no speaking or they speak some language. Like
Is it like, I mean, I know we talked a little bit about, is it like Zelda where it's always like,
it's more like, you know, they actually talk, but it's like, you just don't know what they say. Yeah, exactly. Very good, Larry. Do you want to put up like your affiliate link for Zelda? I mean, you're holding up the box.
Who you work for, Larry? Come on.
We recognize great games.
And that's I've true. Played 25 hours of Zelda this week. Like, make no mistake. It's amazing and I love it.
I was just bringing up that in the game there's, because it's, and the reason they do a lot of the, you know, in this game, there's like you said, there's no voices in that game, right, Jeff? There's no,
they're dialogue. Speaking some sort of like, you know,
but
language,
but you have
that
to read
what's real.
Coming up, right?
There's no subtitles.
Oh, there's no subtitles
nothing.
Either. Interesting.
Yeah, it's not important. You know that your character's name is Lana because someone calls you Lana, and right. You know that the little thingy, the little rodent, rabbit, cat thing is named Mui because you call it Mui.
Right.
And but then there's a lot of pointing and saying like a word, like whatever it means, and it's clearly like, go up there and shoot this rope.
Got it. Anyway.
And make logs fall on a robot.
Fun. You do that. Okay. Take that. What about you, Malik? What are you apexing, or you said you're playing?
No. Let me take a step back. I did play Apex. I was talking to Jeff about this actually last week, that I'm slowly getting back into Apex, even though it's like disturbing my sleep schedule.
Slowly. I just went right back to it. Because the perception is you've never stopped. So the fact you're slowly getting into it, I don't understand that.
I didn't play all last season because I was like, you know what, this is too much for me. But I jumped back in with the new season and I've been watching a couple streamers. And so whenever I like working and also watching streamers, it gets me like wanting to play. So I'll play a little at night. But as Jeff was just talking about, I jumped into Planet of Lana last night because I had to get some a little bit more training. And so that's kind of what I've been playing.
Well, I know that you mentioned it before, and that you wanted to do something before you go to sleep at night to kind of bring your stress level down and kind of get chill.
Yeah.
How's that working?
I need to pick up like meditation or something like that, because, or like stretching, or,
you know what most people do, Malik, is read a book.
No, they don't. I don't believe people read books before bed. It just is something that only happens in movies, as far as I'm concerned, at least.
Were you trolling everybody in the Target book section last week on social?
Absolutely.
I missed that.
What Jeff's referring to is on Twitter. I was in Target and I was walking past the book section and I was just like, I cannot believe people just stand here and look for a book to read. And so I was like, you know what? Let me just post a picture on Twitter asking people what to select. And so I put my ultra wide camera on so you could see the whole shelf. And then people actually gave me suggestions. And so then I felt bad because I was like, oh, I did this to troll people.
There were no good books on that shelf. Like a jerk. You made the right call. I looked. Right, I zoomed, I enhanced, and I could not find a book to recommend you.
Well, you know what I'm going to do, Malik, and I don't want to talk too much about this because we want to get back to games, is I'm going to have my sister on the show because she's a librarian. And I think she would probably
love this. Like a reality show at some point. What if they switch roles?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sick that day.
So we'll figure that out. What else? Jeff, you're Jeff Malik. You guys playing anything else, or we want to kind of roll into the news here? Because we've got
I did. I'd mentioned this last week, and, yeah. I did try it out, which is Lego 2K Drive.
Oh, that's right.
Which is an open world. You know, when you think open world racer, your mind immediately goes to Forza. Sure. And obviously Forza Horizon had a Lego game. And I was like, is this going to be like Forza Horizon Lego? And the Lego update, which was still awesome. Very different game. I think actually really it handles a lot more like a Mario Kart game with a lot of like power sliding and turbo and things like that. But like, this feels like it would be a great game for like a kid who wants to get into racing and, you know, and something where you get to have a lot of fun. Like it totally has like sort of like the voices and everything, like very much like kids programming, which is great because not everything should be, you know, let your kids have their innocence for a little while.
I have to tell you, can I tell you a funny Lego story?
Yeah.
So my daughter, who's almost six, has Legos. We bought her a little bit of Legos, but we had like a few like small kits and where she'd build them. I went out and bought her. I was at Target looking through the books. I was at Target and I bought the big container of Legos, which is like 1,000 random Legos. I brought it home. I've never seen her like she attacked it. And she sat in she sat in her room for like 4 hours building stuff. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
I mean, I remember Legos growing up. There's something magical about those little bricks.
Next, she'll be ready for Minecraft.
Yes, soon.
You know, another like move it into the virtual world.
Yeah,
another type of bricks. Well, it's funny because I was thinking I had my kid play Forza Horizon 4 and 5, like, you know, and it's a first racing game because you can just sort of like go and just wander around.
And you can use co-pilot mode.
And she... You can, but you know, she's able to handle it. And she had like a thing for taking Lamborghinis off road and just drive them and just had like the best time, like driving them through the forest. Yeah. And then the news came out last week that their Lamborghini came out with an off road supercar, the Lamborghini Huracan Serato, which is an off road Lambo. I did. Actually, my wife found it. And she was like, "This is it." And I kid you not. She started looking. She's like, I want to get a job now. Like, I want to start saving up for this Lamborghini. I'm not gonna discourage it. So we're like looking up. How old do you have to work?
List the price.
List price is $380,000.
Oh,
so if. Well, minimum wage in Seattle is like $20-something. Like, you know, you're closer to it than when I was making $425 at groceries at Publix.
No.
So, yeah, I don't want to discourage her. You got to. I told her, I was like, look, this is what you do. You're not gonna save up for it. Like, just work. Like, she wants to work at a coffee shop. But if you work at a coffee shop and you start like TikToking from the coffee shop, like, and you become like a really like a famous barista TikToker, you just sort of like. You just go up and to the right. And next thing you know,
I don't like this.
Lamborghini
Huracan. Your optimism, Jeff. Wow.
Off road. Well, you know, you gotta support.
I saw it. It looks sick, by the way.
She has a goal in mind. Car.
So she has great taste.
I have to go look at this.
Exactly. What's, there you go.
But I thought they already made one.
I'll send it to you, Larry. An off road. No, but they do make like an SUV. This is literally a Lamborghini Huracan meant to, they had to be inspired by Forza Horizon.
Right.
100%. And they're only making 1,499 of them. So maybe there might not be much.
She's on the clock.
Oh, look at the tires and the, oh my word. Yeah. Look at this thing. Oh, it's in the desert. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Lamborghini, let us know if you want us to take us out and we'll listen to Lamborghini. I'm putting you on blast right now. I need you to contact me, major@xbox.com. We would like to have Jeff's daughter go out in one of these things. So we'll film it. So,
Yeah, she's not old enough to drive.
Jeff can drive for her, but
there we go. I hope it's an automatic.
Lamborghini automatic. Okay, great. Anyway, moving on. Whew, never know. Anyway, Jeff, we got some news we want to roll through this week and
talk
about some stuff. Just before you get started, quick reminder, this is our last show. We're going to be off air for a couple weeks as we get ready
for
Xbox. Not ever. Just for 2 weeks. Don't worry, we'll be back. We're going to talk to, we're going to get ready for the showcase in a couple weeks in June. So want to remind people that. But Jeff, let's talk about the news.
All right. So last week, you may have remembered that we talked about PC games coming to NVIDIA GeForce Now.
Yeah.
It was right away from when we announced it. Well, more coming. Starting June 1st, PC games from Xbox will be headed to Boosteroid customers. That does start June 1st.
Isn't that the protein drink, Boosteroid, or something like that?
Boosteroid is a streaming service, and customers in the UK, Ukraine, EU, and the US will be able to play Gears 5, Grounded, Deathloop, and Pentiment. Those four titles are just the start. And so if you own those games through Steam, through the Epic Games Store, and then down the line through Microsoft Store, you're a Boosteroid member, guess what? You get to just take it with you, stream it. So
wonderful.
It's awesome. More games, more places. Oh. All right. We also announced, you might have remembered, we had a guest on about 6 months ago when we released our first ever Xbox Transparency Report.
Yes.
And one of the commitments there was, hey, we will continue to update everyone every 6 months.
More transparency.
Well, the second... Exactly. You can see right through it, Larry. You can see right through me. See Planet Alana. You can see the animation happening. So the second transparency report did come out this week. Dave McCarthy penned a post on Xbox Wire that talks all about it. And it's really just sort of focusing on sort of the effect and importance of proactive moderation, aka if someone is doing some malfeasance or doing something they shouldn't be doing, it gets caught before it even reaches your eyes or
ears.
And ears. I mean, yeah. there's a number of ways in which these types of things happen. So automated tools like Community Sift that are able to catch offensive things literally like within milliseconds. So we actually have like a nice little flow chart about how things work and like if, like, hey, someone changed their gamer pick to something inappropriate, it uploads. And if you ever notice, why doesn't it switch immediately? Well, hey, it's getting scanned for inappropriate content. Of course, it's always important that if you see something inappropriate, say something. Use the in-system reporting tools. We do care. We do look at these things. There is a human on the other end of that line and making sure that everything is done in good faith. But increasingly, so much is caught even before that. There was 7.5 million proactive enforcements against like inauthentic accounts in the last 6 months. So yeah, like great tools. It's always a journey, and we'll learn more as these come out every 6 months.
I cannot believe. Like, I remember when I first started Xbox, my office was right next to the only person. There was one person doing this type of enforcement, and it's grown into this global team. A lot of it is automated. There's tools. It's an incredibly sophisticated and incredibly helpful to help create a great safe gaming environment for everybody.
Yes. This isn't safe. We missed this right before because this happened after we recorded, but before the show started last week, Mortal Kombat 1, the furthest thing from safe, but so excited. That this is coming out. We're living in a year. It's coming September 19th. We're living in a year where Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat are coming out within 3 months of each other. Like, is this 1994? Like, when's the last time that happened? Like, that's amazing as a fighting game fan, and particularly these two franchises. I'm super excited. I like where they're going with the story. We're like,
pick up your fight stick now,
Raiden. And this is actually a great time to be shopping for a fight stick because it's going to get some tremendous use.
And they're not going to be available. Trust me, once these hit, I bet you they're not going to be available.
Oh, wait, September 19th. So September 13th, 1993 was Mortal Monday. And that was like the first like release date I remember in gaming. So it's going to be 30 years since then.
You were working
30 years and 6 days.
Where were you then?
Where was I? Well, I remember riding my bike to go pick up Mortal Kombat on my Genesis. So I was under driving age, I guess, but not under picking up Mortal Kombat age and punching in the blood code, ABACABB, if I recall correctly. Those were good times.
Deep cut.
Those were good times. Yeah. All right. Here's a game I'm very excited about that sort of like went past my radar and was forcibly thrown back in front of me by a member of Xbox Wire team. And I'm glad they did. So one of the games that is, I love a good strategy RPG. And one of the best ones that we've seen in the last decade was Mutant Year Zero.
Yep.
Well, that team has a new game, and it's called Miasma Chronicles, a tactical turn-based RPG. And there's a great blog post from the developers that is on Xbox Wire now. It is out now. It just looks really interesting. And I'll be talking about it. I'll be picking it up this week. I'm going to somehow find time between all the other things I have to play, or want to play. But I really like what they're doing here. And what they've done awesomely, like in Mutant Year Zero, and we've seen other games do this. There was a great game I played at GDC, is a combination of like real time movement. But then once the battle starts, that you go into sort of that overhead turn-based tactics.
Look at all the screenshots we got situation. Up there. Wow.
Great. Exactly. Art, yeah.
So it looks great. So this is one that is had just rocketed to the top of my radar, and I will be playing it. Another game I really enjoyed when we think about RPGs is a game called The Ruined King. And that was the first of these League of Legends stories. And I really like how Riot Games has been taking the characters and the stories from League, which is a game I do not play, and I'm not a MOBA guy. I'm probably never going to play League of Legends, but there's some awesome lore. There's amazing art. No, I'm not going to do it. Like just learning. It's like, it's not a game. It's like a lifestyle. Like I've messed around with it. I'm like, it's so deep. It would be like saying, hey, I want to learn how to play like chess or so.
I'll play chess with you.
You're not getting out of this, Jeff.
Okay. I'm not getting out of it. Larry, I don't want to play these things with you. Okay. What I do enjoy, though, is that they're taking the IP and they're putting it into formats that I do want to play, like a turn-based RPG in the form of Ruined King, which was phenomenal, and I put 50 hours into it and beat that game. They had Mage Seeker that came out earlier this year, and now an action platformer that is available now called Convergence. And this focuses on Zaun, who is one of the legends, and this looks like kind of like some Metroidvania stuff, and I'm hearing good things about it. So, and it has a really cool art style. So this is a game I'm also looking forward to checking out. So like if you watched Arcane is amazing. It's on Netflix. It's a animated story. Again, you don't have to like play League to enjoy that world. And I think that's the key thing here. And this is now the third game from those League of Legends stories. And Riot Forge, I think, is the team that sort of publishes those. And anyway, worth checking out because Ruined King was like quality. And so I'm optimistic on what Convergence is. Last thing, we talked about Minecraft, and a really cool texture pack came out called the Sonic. It's a Sonic textures pack. So you can basically transform the overworld into a classic Sonic landscape. You think of like Green Hill Zones. There's like a good feel of that. Obviously, there's skins for your characters where, you know, they can, take the form of Sonic and other Dr. Robotnik. Sorry, I didn't want to ignore his work he put in college. Yeah, exactly. he had to go through a dissertation here. What's really cool is being able to change the world itself into really cool. Yeah, there you go. Like it looks like Green Hill Zone. And that's awesome. And other areas as well, underworld. So you just need the latest version of the Minecraft Bedrock Edition. And there's also a free Super Sonic hoodie character available now through June 22nd. I think that was the character we saw up there. So anyway, Sonic plus Minecraft
equals good, yum.
That's math I can handle. Yes.
Oh, by the way, it looks really cool. I mean, it's funny. We're talking about 1993. I don't remember when Sonic came out, but that's feels like when I was playing Sonic.
I want to say 91. Yeah. I want to say 91. And then Sonic 2 came out also in like 93.
Finding all the secrets in the green zone. Man. Okay, I'm going to go right past that. So,
yes, please do.
Anyway, thank you for that, Jeff. The news desk is in full effect. You're going to come back. And I got to tell you, because we're not going to be on the air for 2 weeks, you're going to come back in the news desk. You're not going to be able to see the camera. It's going to be stacked with all this news.
It's just this papers, just all this shuffling. And, you know, I don't have it.
Love that.
Anyway.
Thank you. I was looking for paper.
Yes. Looking for a prop. Malik, I did a couple interviews. Kelly joined us in an interview. Would you do us the favor and get us into the interviews, please?
I sure will, Larry. So we, as Larry mentioned, we have two interviews. Larry will be interviewing Lee, who is a senior creative director for F1 23. Love me some racing, some F1. And Kelly is interviewing Panu about Asian Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Enjoy the interviews.
F1 23 comes to Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC on June 16th. Joining us right now is Lee Mather, who's the senior creative director for F1 23. Lee, welcome back to the show. We had you on a couple years ago.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's great to be back, and it's kind of right as well. The last time I was on was in 21 when we were talking about Breaking Point Part 1. So it just feeds nicely into the fact that this is to talk about Breaking Point Part 2 as well.
Now, I just mentioned a moment ago, June 15th is when you're out. Main release is coming out. If you have Deluxe, you get early access on June 13th for F1. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to for the past 2 years since we talked last.
Yeah, so as I just mentioned, you know, we back in 21 when I spoke to you, we just were on the verge of launching F1 21, and one of the big features was Breaking Point. It was the big story element to the game, and that's such a huge undertaking for the team that it takes us a long time to create a game mode of that scale. So Breaking Point Part 2 is really big headline feature for F1 23. We've also got an entirely new game mode in there called F1 World as well, which is going to engage with our players in totally different ways within the world of Formula One. And of course, every year we always like to refine things like the on-track experience with the physics, the way that the cars feel, the way the cars drive. And we've also looked at other areas such as how, we handle multiplayer. So we've now got ranked divisions in multiplayer. We've done extra work with the league system. So again, we're covering a lot of bases there. There's a lot of things for all types of players.
You know, since we talked in 2021, I've been watching, and we've all been watching, F1, I know it's massive in Europe, but it's starting to really take a toehold here in America. Tell us what that's like, as somebody who's, you work in F1 and you work on the game, but is it interesting to see how it's finally growing in America?
It's fantastic. So for years, we were always trying to find the angle to get the game to break America because we know it's such a huge audience. And
well, you're on the show, so it's breaking big anyway, right? You're on the show.
It really is. It really is. And Drive to Survive's helped that as well. The new audience that's coming in through Drive to Survive, which obviously with the story in the game as well, ties in really nicely to that. But yeah, we've seen a huge increase of interest now from the United States.
And I know people are excited to get their hands on. Let's go. We're going to show a little bit of video here, but I want to kind of go through. Tell us about what's new with the game this year.
Yeah, so as I say, Breaking Point is the continuation of the story that we started back in F1 21. So it's essentially the story of Devon Butler, Casper Ackerman, Aiden Jackson, two of them competing drivers. You'll see in the new installment of the story that Devon's father's now putting in an appearance. He's the money man behind a new team, Connorsport. So obviously that's going to cause friction. We've got an upcoming female driver in the sport coming through Formula 2, looking like she's going to challenge to get into the world of Formula 1. So, we're telling different stories. We're telling the story of the rivalry between the two drivers that we already know and love or love to hate. In the case of Devon, he was the antagonist of the piece, but also the brilliant story of Callie Mayer, who's working her way through from Formula 2 into the world of Formula 1.
Lee, when we look at car racing, I mean, we have, we've got NASCAR style racing, we've got Indy 500 style racing, we have all these other types of racing. What, if you were to describe it to somebody, obviously in the US, who's maybe new to it, it's like they look at it, what's different about it? What is the soul of F1?
I mean, for me, F1 is the fact that it travels the globe. F1's a truly global sport. It travels to so many different countries, so many continents, and it has drivers from all around the world. And I think that's something which allows it to reach a really broad audience. It's such a global sport.
In F1 21, the fictional narrative driven story mode Breaking Point made its debut, and in F1 23, Breaking Point makes its return. Tell us a little bit about Breaking Point 2, if you would, please.
Yeah, so I've got to be very careful here. I don't want to give too much away.
Sure.
So obviously, as I mentioned, we've got the returning sort of rivals in Aiden and Devon Butler. And then in this instance, Devon's father's now funding a new team on the grid, Connorsport. They're struggling, but obviously he's got the financial backing. Devon's there pulling the levers, causing some contention. There's a new team boss in there. And of course, from a gameplay perspective, something we also wanted to do was give the player more agency over the story. So obviously what you do on the track will drive the story forward, but also there'll now be multiple layers to the goals that you can achieve. So things that you say in interviews off track, things that you do when you're playing the role of one of the team principals, for example, will also impact some of the story and the secondary narrative that we've now weaved into that as well.
We talked about, I was doing a little bit of reading on this, and there's this precision drive technology, which delivers a vastly improved playside along the F1 team. Tell us about that feature.
Yeah, I'm going to try and talk about that without waving my arms around too much. But essentially, when you're driving a car, you've got a steering wheel, you've got two pedals. And it's very easy to sort of naturally do those things. And in particular with the steering, you're always constantly making small corrections. You're always adjusting the car. And we wanted to give the player that same level of fidelity, that same level of accuracy and control through a controller. And through precision drive, that's what we've achieved. The player can now really accurately drive that car, be more aggressive on the steering. But they can also tune it in the options menu as well to set it up to the way that they want to drive. And essentially through the work we've done on the force feedback, that comes through the wheel. We also wanted to convey that through the controller as well. So you can really feel through the rumble of an Xbox controller when the grip's coming, when the grip's going. You can really manipulate that car on the limit and feel exactly what it's doing.
You know, following community feedback, several highly requested features are going to be included in F1 23. Can you share what those features are, if you would, please?
Yeah, so a long requested feature was red flags. So red flags are obviously a huge part of the sport of Formula One, and we've seen them quite readily already this season. So red flags literally neutralize the race. It's a complete stop. All of the cars reform on the grid and the race restarts. So it's a really big event in a Formula One race.
That actually is good news for me, because as somebody who is always at the rear of the pack and I feel like I can never get ahead, that's great that there's this, the red flag is going to allow me to kind of, okay, let's reset.
It really does. And the strategy can change as well. So the player can change their strategy during a red flag period. They can change the tires. They can repair certain components on the car. So it really does mix things up significantly. And of course, the second big feature was we've got a very, very successful esports program that we run in partnership with Formula One. And, it's created some really astonishing drivers now over the last few years since we started back in 2017. And one of the things that we trialed in esports was a different race distance. So we know that people love the authenticity of Formula One, but sometimes they don't have the time to do an hour-long race or a two-hour-long race if they're doing 100% race distance. So 35% race distance takes all the essence of a Formula One race, the strategy, the tyre wear, in a slightly more compact sort of time window. So again, it gives players the full F1 experience who are maybe not quite so time-rich.
You know, you talked about the leagues that you have, and you're working with you're working with other folks on that. But I've also noticed we've seen in other sports that some people that are good in the video game version of the sport migrate over to the real life version. We've seen that in F1, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. We've now seen it more times than I think we ever thought we would at this point. You know, we've seen drivers move into F2 with Chen Barlett-Bassi. We've seen Lucas Blakely go and race in the Race of Champions, actually beating Sebastian Vettel. You know, it's really starting to grow out there. And it's also, it's an entire career in its own right. Some of these drivers have no ambition to move into real motorsport because virtual motorsport's equally as rewarding and competitive these days.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's really extraordinary. I mean, the game looks great. And of course, I'm sure you probably are one of those people that has, the multi-screens and you're sitting down in your living room, right? You're one of those people, aren't you, Lee?
I vary. If I'm on PC, it's multi-screens. If it's living room, it's a big screen.
Yeah, you're leaning back on that. Tell us, we've got some other great features here in the game. Tell us a little bit about F1 World.
Yeah, we're very excited about F1 World. This is something new and unique to the series. So you look at what we do with the real authenticity side of things in Driver Career and My Team. You look at the drama and the excitement of story. But we've got so many other great game modes in there and so much content that we wanted to pull it all together into an area where players could play single player and multiplayer and really feel that sort of level of progression. So F1 World is essentially an entirely new area of the game where the player can take part in daily, weekly, and seasonal races. So it allows us to connect it closer to the sport. On a race weekend, we can create events that relate to that race weekend. The players can race either the Formula One cars, Formula Two cars, or the new F1 World car. And this is the car that they'll be developing through the new systems that we've implemented there. So you'll be receiving credits as you're racing that you can use to upgrade the car. You'll be winning upgrades as you race. You'll be able to increase what we're terming the tech level. So tech level is essentially the performance level of your car. You can pick events that are above or below your tech level, so you can really challenge yourself, or you can make your life a little bit easier. And you can also take the car online as well, race against other people who've been building their My Team, their F1 World car as well.
You know, one of the things I love about F1 is, like I say, as you said, it was international, and you really come across that with that. You know, we talked about the different cars and whatnot, but tell us about the two new circuits.
Yeah, super exciting. We're always really happy when there's new circuits on the calendar. This afternoon, I've actually been playing a little bit of a sale in Qatar, and I think it's absolutely fantastic. It really suits the modern Formula One cars in that it's got some incredibly fast flowing corners. You can really feel that downforce. You can really feel the car hunkering down, and the speed that you carry through those corners is amazing. I think they're going to produce amazing racing. And then, of course, there's Las Vegas, which, personal favorite for me, it's one of my favorite places in the world. So there's nothing more impressive, I think, than when we get to see a Formula One car flying down the Las Vegas Strip. And to make it more unique as well, it's actually a night race on a Saturday evening, and that's something which Formula One hasn't done for a very long time.
Well, if you've ever been on the Vegas Strip on a Saturday evening, you know it is crazy, and this is just going to add even more to it, right?
Oh, the energy is going to be absolutely off the scale. I think it's going to be a very special event. And again, as we spoke about earlier, it's another great event in the United States. You know, it's now three races, and they're three really accessible, amazing races with Texas, Miami, and now obviously Vegas.
Well, I'm just so thrilled at how F1 is growing. And obviously people being able to play it on a video game is their entree. You know, they can really get into it from that. That's kind of their on-ramp there. You know, what is something you're particularly excited about for both new and returning players to experience with F1 23?
Yeah, there's always a number of things. It's hard to just pinpoint one. I think obviously story is a returning feature, and we've really pushed story this year. You'll certainly see with the visuals as well in the cutscenes. I think people will really enjoy that. But for me, it really is F1 World. I think once people start to get a handle on how it plays and what it does, they'll get really engaged with it. They'll be really excited to keep returning for those daily events, to go and achieve the weeklies, to maybe go online, to maybe even engage with some of the new multiplayer features in there as well. As I say, it's a single player and multiplayer game mode. So, you know, we've got a new racing license in there. We want players to race cleanly. It's something that we really value, is cleaning up the community, getting people racing effectively. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of things that players who are just starting out on their F1 journey and players who are real vets will really take from F1 World.
F1 23 is coming Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, PC on June 16th. Now, if you have the deluxe version, you get early access on the 13th. Lee Mailer, the senior creative director for F1 23, thank you for your time today and congratulations on your upcoming launch.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time.
All right. Welcome to the interview that we are about to do with someone that I actually work with and know and love. And I'm very excited to get a chance to showcase and for you guys to get to know a little better as well. Welcome to the pod, Panu. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Kelly. How are you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. I was just reading through the amazing article on Xbox Wire that you were featured in. And I have some other questions that I would like to get in with you, if that's okay.
That's awesome. So, I would love to.
Yeah. So I want to start by getting to know you and getting to know a little bit more about, let's start at the very beginning. Can you tell me a little bit about your upbringing? Like, where are you from? What was your childhood like?
I love it. I grew up in Bangkok, Thailand. And I actually was very fortunate to grow up across a bunch of different countries. My father worked for an airlines. So when I was very, very little, you know, I was in countries like Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Japan, and Australia before coming back to Thailand for middle school, high school, and of course, college. My family, we're pretty big. I'm the youngest of three boys. My mom is Thai. My father is Thai Indian. So kind of being like moving around, being international was kind of always like part of our family ever since we were little. When I wasn't in school, I was often just reading comic books and playing video games. So I have to tell people, you know, as a child, life was pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I feel like that's relatable for a lot of folks that are probably listening or watching to this, reading comic books, playing video games. You're in good company here. So let's talk about the video game portion a little bit. What role has gaming had in your life since you started as a young kid playing video games?
Oh my God, so big. You know, I think I mentioned that I moved around a lot when I was little, and therefore gaming with my brothers was essential. It was everything we did together. I think co-op games became our love language, and we kind of shared this with everyone possible. We definitely tried with my parents, but they were like, no. But it was definitely with each other and with all our new friends from all our schools. Some of my favorite memories growing up is playing co-op games with my siblings, or, you know, inviting people over to play any competitive or co-op games on all our consoles that we had.
So, again, very relatable. And would you say that that time gaming and kind of learning how to communicate through games and through that passion, has that impacted your career journey, and how does it kind of change and affect what you do at Xbox today?
I think it's a great question. Maybe I'll start at the beginning of my career. And I was actually one of the first Microsoft college hires in Asia. And I joined through the college recruitment program. And my first role 11 years ago, don't do the math, was to launch Surface in Thailand. And, you know, that was a lot of fun because getting, you know, fresh out of college, getting to work on this brand new product, so many learning opportunities, so many fun things to do. And I really, really enjoyed my time. Over the next couple of years, I did kind of all the other consumer products. I did worked on Windows, worked on Microsoft 365, worked on PC accessories. And eventually I moved to the US, which is where I am now. And I joined the Windows team in 2016. And that was kind of the worldwide team looking after Windows sales all across the world. I finally made the jump to Xbox in 2021, which is when I started working with you, Kelly. And although I loved working on Surface and Windows and Microsoft 365, I knew my true passion was at gaming and was at Xbox. So, you know, throughout my career, I slowly kind of inched closer and closer to where I wanted to be. And I'm really, really excited to talk about my role today. My role today, I'm the worldwide category lead for all our first party games, right? So I have the honor and the privilege to manage our sales and marketing for all our major titles, right? Like our Halos, our Forzas, our Sea of Thieves. And I get to bring this to all our fans all around the world, which is just so exciting. One thing I think I have to talk about is, like, I truly believe in this idea of finding your ikigai. And I touched on this in the article a little bit. It's this Japanese concept of essentially doing what gives you purpose. It combines the idea of, you know, doing what you love, doing what you're good at, doing what the world needs, and ultimately what you can get paid for. And for me, that is gaming, and that is gaming at Xbox. Kind of going full circle a little bit, one of my most proud moments working on the Xbox team was when we launched Game Pass in Southeast Asia just about a year ago. And, you know, specifically, we launched it in Thailand. So I kind of got to go back to Thailand, work with my old partners, work with like all these old news outlets that I used to work with back when I was in Thailand, and be like, guys, I'm back and I'm here to talk to you about Xbox Game Pass in Thailand.
That's amazing. And it's always such a fun full circle moment when you're working on something where you're like, as a kid, this would have meant so much to me. And knowing that there are kids and adults and people of all ages that are now enjoying the work that you do. And it's so impactful. So yeah, it's amazing. I've learned a lot about your background, more than I have in our time working together. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. We often, you know, get questions around how people got their start here. And there's no linear path. Like, there are people that come from all over. And it's important for, you know, our fans and consumers and audiences to see themselves reflected in our work at Xbox. So I think that the work that you're doing to share your story is really incredible. And I'd love to hear more about the kind of work that you're doing with Asians at Xbox today.
Of course. I, alongside Rebecca, we're in the Xbox Employee Resource Group called Asians at Xbox. And our job, much like all the other resource groups, is to foster a sense of belonging for the Asians and the allies at Xbox. And ultimately, we want to have a place where people can network, have fun, and our goal is to help drive for inclusive gaming. We try to do this by hosting numerous events, cultural parties, more fun parties as well. And we all believe in this idea of inclusive gaming, which is honestly core to the philosophy of not just Asians at Xbox, but what we do like here at Xbox in general. Phil often talks about how, you know, we're here to empower gamers to game with wherever they want, whomever they want, whenever they want. And this idea of inclusive gaming is core to that philosophy. On top of that, this year, I was lucky enough to be selected as the spokesperson for Asian and Pacific Islander Heritage Month here at Xbox. So I get to play a small role in on behalf of the Asian Pacific Islander community in driving for inclusive business growth and cultural awareness, which is why we're talking today.
I love it. That's amazing. And again, like I've attended some of the speaking and cultural events that the Asians at Xbox group have put on, and they're just really enlightening and really fun. And it's just amazing work that those teams are doing. Shifting gears a little bit, I want to ask about some of the differences that you've noticed in storylines from Western perspective versus Southeast Asian perspectives. Like, as you play games or as you kind of like learn more about storytelling, would love to hear your perspective on that.
Totally. You know, I think moving here a couple years ago, what I think about more and more is about how the protagonist or the main character is so critical to the story here, right? I think growing up, we learn about the hero's journey and how this hero has to like wake up one day and shed kind of who they are to be this like whole new self-actualized person. And it makes for really, really great storytelling, and it's fantastic. However, like I think about it, you know, what if there was a way where the hero could go on their journey, but maybe they don't have to leave their family behind, right? I think I touched on this a little bit in the article, but I love games, stories, movies, books where the character has their core group, and their core group can be their closest group of friends. It can be their party, you know, like in like Mass Effect. It can be their group that they choose, or it can be their family that they're born into. And I think of this idea to be so cool where we could develop the main character or characters in a way where they don't have to leave their family or their core group behind. And that's just kind of something that I think about. I don't know if I'm onto something there, but what makes me kind of think about that a little bit more is that I noticed that here in, you know, in the US and in the West, it's very common for people to, you know, graduate high school or college and kind of move out and live by themselves. It's also really common in Asia, where I'm from, where people are living in multi-generational homes. I'm there, my parents are there, my grandparents are often there, and it fosters a huge sense of community. And you know, every day you're helping with taking care of your parents or your elderly. And I think it, in a way, does bring our family unit together a little bit. And it's something that, you know, I wish was a little bit more prevalent in Western societies.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think you are onto something there for what it's worth. Do you have a favorite Southeast Asian game? Maybe one that you're playing?
Kelly, you can't ask me my favorite game. However, there's a lot of really, really awesome games. But I will touch on a game that I just started a couple days ago, and that's Ghost Lore. It was just added to Xbox Game Pass. I actually have this personal goal, which is like ridiculous, but to play 15 minutes of every game on Game Pass. And so, you know, I'm frequently looking on the list and I'm like, hey, recently added, boom. So I jumped in and I kind of fell in love with this game right away. I gotta get this right. It's a co-op action RPG roguelite dungeon crawler. And it has like loot and co-op, and it's absolutely fantastic. And like all of this is wrapped in this like NES 90s retro art style. So I absolutely love it. It's made by a developer. They're based out of Singapore, and it's kind of this like hodgepodge of Southeast Asian cultures that show up in the game. So when you're playing the game and you're in the world, it's like a bunch of like food stalls and, you know, like hawker markets and kind of stuff. And it's like food markets. And it really reminds me of Southeast Asia, where I'm from. And when you go out, you know, the architecture, the plantation, all of that is very, very Southeast Asian. So I'm a big fan of that. But the best part, I think, is the localization. Of course, you know, like nowadays we drive for so much localization, but I think this game goes a little bit above and beyond, and they have localized it in Malay, in Indonesian, in Filipino, in Thai, and in Vietnamese as well. So if anyone's kind of on the fence, I think it'd be a great opportunity for them to jump in and try a game from the region.
Yeah, check it out. You said it was called Ghost Lore?
Yeah, Ghost Lore. Just added on Game Pass this week.
Check it out if you missed it the first time. Ghost Lore. I'm definitely going to check it out because it sounds at least a few of my favorite genres are wrapped up in that description. So,
I mean, how could you not, right? I feel like I touched on everything.
Yeah.
And best part, it's got co-op. So like after this, you and I can jump in and try it out.
Yes, I love that. Okay, so I know we have limited time. You're a very busy guy. But I want to talk a little bit about your goals for expanding representation in gaming, whether it's through your career or side hustles or whatever that looks like for you.
That's a fantastic question. So I've actually been discussing this a lot with like my leadership team, and I feel like there's two things I can do, but I really haven't decided yet like which way I want to take it. So I think the first way I could do it is I could move upstream, right? Kind of more similar to what you're doing, Kelly, is work closer with game development, closer in marketing. And kind of my goal there is to try to raise worldwide awareness for Southeast Asian culture. I really want the world to see, like, we have so much to offer, kind of like what the studio behind Ghost Lore is doing. I think we have so much to offer, and I want to be a part of that to bring that to the masses. At the same time, I think I can take an alternative approach and kind of move back to my region where I'm from and help develop local talent there. I worked alongside some amazing people in Southeast Asia, in Greater Asia, and I want to leverage my new network and kind of get them to show off the work that they're doing on a global scale. There's such awesome talent coming from that region, and I really, really want the world to see that. So I guess regardless of moving upstream closer to the actual game development or downstream closer to kind of the local talent, I just want to raise awareness for Southeast Asia gaming culture. And I think there's so much that we have to offer the world.
Oh, absolutely agree. And I think that you've already done so much amazing work. And I personally am really excited to see where you go, what you do. And I know it's going to be great no matter what it is. So thank you so much for your time today. I do want to pause and say if there's any other message that you would like to communicate, anything, any parting words you'd like to leave with us before we wrap up, now is your shot.
Thank you, Kelly. I just want to thank you and thank Larry and the rest of the team. I've been a long-time listener, huge fan of what you guys do here. It's an honor for me to be on this podcast, and you know, I can't wait to share more about what we do. And you know, I look forward to gaming with all of you.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, we will let you go back to getting your 15 minutes of Game Pass games in one at a time. And thank you for being here. And we will chat with you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Lee. And thanks, Panu. We are into the final week of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. That means June is on the horizon and Pride as well. But it also means we're going to be like jumping on the planes and going places. Yeah. Larry, we've talked quite a bit about you going to Mexico City for the Xbox showcase. But then Malik, you've got people are going to be seeing you, are they not?
Yeah, for better or for worse, Jeff. But yes, I was mentioned a little bit. We teased it a little bit. Kelly and I didn't know if we were allowed to say it, but I did check
with Raina,
who was on the show a few weeks ago. And yeah, Kelly and I will be hosting the in-person FanFest watch party down in LA for the Xbox showcase. And I am super pumped. I cannot wait. We had such a great time down there. Again, last year was really our first year back with the fans. And I think it was just one of those experiences that when you walked in, it was almost overwhelmingly emotional.
Yeah.
And so this year we're going back and we're going to have that same experience. I've been listening to some of the things that we have as far as the in-person theater at the Nova, which everyone kind of knows already. And it's going to be great. We're going to have awesome stage games and entertainment, of course, with the big Xbox showcase being the main attraction. So I'm excited.
And Starfield Direct. LA.
And yes, that's right. It's a double feature, Starfield Direct. So it's just going to be a great time. And if you're in one of the other regions that are going to be hosting FanFest watch parties, get ready for some Xbox community love. It's going to be awesome. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'll be down in Mexico City, like you mentioned. We're actually going to do another event too. I'm working on a separate event, maybe Monday. So stay tuned for that. Ooh. Keep an eye on me on Twitter. I'll give you those details. We're looking forward to that. Of course, we're going to be in Melbourne, Australia as well. That's where I was last year. I think we're returning to the Fortress, which is a great event, a great location. So that's fun. And then Warsaw,
Poland. Yeah,
our good friend Graham Boyd is going to be over in Warsaw.
Graham,
AC Bongos. We have not talked to him in like 2 years. Right? It feels like it's been forever.
I hope he has
actually chatted with
beard.
Him. That would be great. That would work for him. He could pull that off. I think, he's been working on some really interesting stuff.
Does he still
in
have
Scotland
that crazy, crazy
with
beard?
Larry, are you just, maybe. We didn't hang out.
Oh, I didn't know if you guys did a head. Teams call and you saw
him. Oh, no, I talked to him. We were just on the same call. And he had been working on this like really cool like tartan Scottish Xbox scarf.
Controller, yeah.
Like working, the controller, but like an actual scarf and other items in that.
If anybody can do it, do the right tartan, it's Graham.
We got the right guy for the job.
It's his life work right there. So yep. Good for him. But we're excited about and then of course, like I said, we'll be in Warsaw, Sao Paulo, Brazil, which we're gonna have someone down there as well. I think someone from the Sea of Thieves team is going down. The same thing with Melbourne. So we're gonna be all over the world this time around. So looking forward to it.
Most wonderful time of the year.
It is. And then we'll be back, as I said earlier, we'll be back with this show right after that week. Probably that Friday we'll have a show. We'll line some stuff up to talk about. We'll talk about our experiences and other fun stuff. So Malik, we'll have to have you back on to talk about FanFest. And maybe we should get everybody on. Maybe we should do the show live, Jeff. Should we do it live?
Maybe.
It's the first time I've
mentioned
it. I'm
not committing to anything. I can't think about things a month from now. Larry. I barely can make it through the day.
I know. You've got
same.
You've got,
relatable.
Anyway, first of all, keep an eye on, for all the FanFest, you want to keep an eye on the Xbox Twitter account, of course, as well as our Twitter accounts, which are on the screen now. If you're watching us on YouTube.
What about your Blue Sky account, Larry?
I've got my Blue Sky account. I'm on Blue Sky. You can find me, Major Nelson, at Blue
Both
Sky.
Both of you are, aren't you?
Yeah. Let me see.
Yeah, I really use it. I'm Rubes. I got Rubes. If I had an invite, I'd give it to you.
The question is, how far back in your pages is Blue Sky, right? That's the big question.
I only have two pages. I keep everything to two pages. If it doesn't fit in two pages, I don't need it.
Okay. That's one way to do
Jack
it.
Jack Dorsey, hit me up. I'm the only one without one. You know? What's going on here? I want to get Malik.
I did have to enroll in Square Pay, and I have like a register here now.
Anyway, keep an eye on us on Twitter. We're looking forward to joining wherever you are. You're going to be joining some members of Team Xbox, either virtually or in person. We hopefully you'll join us watching the showcase wherever you are. It'll be streamed at all your favorite streaming locations. Any final words before we wrap it up, Jeff, and see people on the other side of showcase or Malik? No. Okay.
See you then.
Okay, see you.
Eat your vitamins, drink your milk, and this is a really comfortable hoodie. Shout out to the X-Cast.
Yeah, can we get quick? I just happened to notice that when you got your X-Cast hoodie out.
Like, listen, I know we're on the official Xbox podcast, but just to spread some podcast love, if you're looking for more Xbox news, different take on it, shout out to the X-Cast. I also listen to Defining Duke, who sit there and talk Xbox for 3 hours. We just have so there's no shortage of Xbox podcasts. But of course, you're here with the official Xbox podcast,
where you can
get Major Nelsonites,
where you can get Malik, and you can get Jeff as well. So anyway, look forward to talking to everybody after a showcase. Thank you in advance for all your kind words and all your thoughts that you're going to send us on Twitter and Blue Sky.
I'm Blue Sky.
So, all right, gang, we'll see you in a few weeks. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. See ya.